From KMXT and Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes. When the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council adopted the Bering Sea and Aleutian Islands Fishery Management Plan Amendment 80, they allocated the fishing rights to several species of groundfish across a vast area of ocean to cooperatives of trawl catcher processors. In addition to these rights, they accepted prohibited species catch limits of halibut, salmon, and crab that, if exceeded, could halt fishing operations. Among the measures taken to lessen unwanted catch of halibut is the use of halibut excluders. Last week, the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council gave the green light to the Amendment 80 fleet for their application for an exempted fishing permit to study a particular kind of halibut excluder. But what is an exempted fishing permit? And for that matter, what is a halibut excluder?
So a halibut excluder is a modification to a normal flatfish net, and again, they're also used in other fisheries, but the one we're focusing on is a gear modification for a flatfish trawl. The earlier design of halibut excluders used a sort of hard grid that would sort so the target fish would go through the grid and the halibut couldn't go through that and would go out, but that one had a lot of disadvantages in terms of the practicality of using it because it took hours to haul back, and also skates and other large fish would get pinned on that grate. So this hallway excluder is an innovation, kind of like a generation two halibut excluder for the flatfish fishery. And so the modification in this case is structured to have a net within a net. So if you think about a tube with a net in it, there's an internal net that the fish are funneled into, and that narrows as it goes backwards at the back end of the internal tube, if you will. There's an escape portal, so the larger halibut, they won't swim through that inner net. By not going through that inner net, they end up going out the escape chute. The purpose of the test is to really get a scientifically rigorous and dedicated test to see what that selectivity is in terms of the reduction in halibut, bycatch, and the potential loss for target fish. Basically, in a nutshell, our exempted fishing permit just asks for exemptions to the catch handling rules to allow us to collect the information from the two nets fished at once separately. And by separately accounting for that, we think we're going to have a good probability of being able to tell the effect of the halibut excluder, against the control of no halibut excluder, so that we can ascertain the performance in a rigorous way.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs, 1-800-992-4960, or online at alaskaboat.com.
Okay, so the Amendment 80 fleet got their exempted fishing permit, and they can study their hallway halibut excluders. But why go to all this trouble?
Data that we've looked at from the regular fishery suggests that really the current halibut excluder design that's most in use, the hallway style excluder, is in wide use because it's practical to use. It doesn't have the issues that we had with these hard grade excluders that it can't be rolled up on a net reel and also pin fish against that grate. So, you know, captains keep wondering how much target fish am I actually losing and how much halibut reduction am I getting from that style. And so we looked at available data from the fishery that was from our dexalidane exempted fishing permit, where the captains had identified whether using an excluder or not. So we had this a way of dividing the data and just looking at the average catch rates for groundfish and for halibut, it didn't suggest we were getting great performance out of the hallway excluder design. And the problem with, you know, trying to make that conclusion is that the data we have is not ideal in the sense that you have some difference in the fishing conditions when you're using the excluder. The captain decides to use an excluder when he thinks he's going to encounter more halibut. So trying to compare that to hauls without, you know, it has a certain bias in the data, what we call selection bias. And then secondly, with deck sorting, we account for most of the halibut on deck, but if you're looking at haul-by-haul comparison, one of the kind of random factors in that is observer sampling methods were never designed to look at haul-by-haul catch rates for species like halibut. So there's a lot of observer potential observer variance in just whether one halibut falls into an observer sample, which makes it noisy data. So we said, okay, what do we need to really do a test to address those issues in the data that we have, you know, in the data that we looked at? And two things came to mind. We should do a twin trawl test, which is one boat fishing two separate nets that split the area that they're fishing. And you could put the excluder on one of those nets and not have excluder on the other, has an otherwise identical net, and the catch rate differences should compensate for the problem that you have with comparing hauls with and without excluders that aren't done simultaneously. Obviously, you're exposing the excluder and the control net to the same conditions for the same time window. And then secondly, We would need to account for each haul with a twin trawl rig separately to be able to look at the effects of the excluder, account for the halibut and groundfish catches separately. Under Amendment 80 observer sampling rules, we couldn't do that because you can't call one haul two hauls. You have to mix the catches. So we worked with the agency and the observer program to make them understand what we were trying to do and see if they could accommodate exemptions to the rule in the way we handle the catch data so that the observers could take samples from the nets, separate nets separately, and we could account for the catches in the hull separately and then allow the crew to collect the halibut that isn't sorted on deck from each hull separately as a census to get a better idea of the haul-specific amount of halibut that is accrued in a factory.
I see. So you're basically hauling two identical nets as a twin trawl. One has the excluder and one doesn't. And then I guess, and then after every so many tows, you switch them to see if there's any bias there.
Right, and that's a factor that the Science and Statistical Committee pointed out, that ideally you'd want to randomly put the excluder on one side each haul, and then because the two sides might fish slightly differently. Unfortunately, it takes hours to switch the excluder out to the other side, so we can't do that on, you know, just, okay, now we're going to do the experiment. Let's, you know, randomly assign which side we're going to put the excluder on, but we'll switch it periodically. It's going to be a compromise between the practicality and the scientific aspects of this. We've got the fishing vessel North Star, which is volunteered to do this. It's a brand new vessel that'll be starting next year. It will, you know, do this test for us over an entire trip. So we hope to get about 70 hauls, you know, these side-by-side comparisons. It'll be a compromise there. We'll try to work in what we can to meet the scientific rigor, but at the same time recognize that they're actually trying to do commercial fishing.
Well, is there a point at which you're not achieving much halibut bycatch reduction, but are seeing significant loss in target catch, where you would expect, I guess, to discontinue use of that type of excluder? And if that's the case, would you be relying on other tools in the toolbox for halibut reduction, or would you be looking at a different type of excluder?
Yeah, that's the crux of the matter, exactly. That's the kind of data we want to get to see kind of what those real reductions are to make that kind of assessment of the trade-offs. Because, you know, the data that we looked at from the fishery, which doesn't control for the data problems I talked about earlier, suggests that we're not reducing the halibut catch rate much more than the groundfish catch rate. So in other words, if you're losing equal amounts, it's just a hole in the net. And that's obviously, not something you want to do. You're just towing longer. You're just burning more fuel. So, I think excluders are not mandated in any way in this fishery. They're one of the tools. It's great that you can get halibut to swim out of the net without bringing it on board. Because then, I would expect that they'd be in the best shape. The other tools you can use are ones we do every day, which is being careful about where you fish and use data from the other boats in the co-op to identify hotspots and stay out of those for, halibut bycatch hotspots. And then secondly, to make test tows and make sure the conditions you're expecting are really the ones that are there before you make a longer tow. And then finally, no matter what, you're still always going to catch some halibut. So the deck sorting tool is really kind of the last defense you have. Those are generally tools that fishermen in the Alaska Seafood Cooperative and really other fisheries do already. The halibut excluder is just another part of that. And if we can get a halibut excluder to work, with good selectivity, then I think we're in better shape because we can catch our groundfish with less catch of halibut.
Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their family. AMSEA at amsea.org or 907-747-3287. Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.